For KOSU News, I'm Michael Cross, and it's time once again for This Week in Oklahoma Politics with Republican political consultant Neva Hill and ACLU Oklahoma Executive Director Ryan Kiesel. It's official. Oklahoma's budget shortfall doubled in just 3 months from $300 million to $600 million. Ryan, I was listening to our file tape from last week. You said it could be as much as $500 million. Are you surprised by this?
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised that it's enormous. You know, I was off by $100 million, you know, so, you know, I'm not that much worse off than the Board of Equalization. I had a better projection than they did. You know, speaking of projections, just real quick, the genius of our legislature, Senator Clark Jolly has a bill right now that just passed out of the Senate, out of a Senate committee with little or no opposition that would do away with the February recertification numbers. So we would literally be putting together a budget today with $300 million less than we otherwise think that we do. But, you know, this is huge. You know, I said last week, you know, I dispute the idea that the sky is not falling, because it is. You know, the huge shortfall that we saw in December, that was almost all the result of these one-time budget fixes that we did last year with revolving funds and cash transfers. Now what we're looking at is the economy. I mean, of course, you know, part of it's gross production taxes, but $200 million of it, two-thirds of it, comes out of a shortfall in individual income tax collection. So we're seeing that the economy itself in Oklahoma is slowing down right at the time when state services are already under the gun, and their need is going to go up as the economy begins to go down.
Neva, you've said that it's not really that bad, but now is it looking than we thought?
Well, it's clearly looking worse, and mm-hmm. I think it does put the pressure on the legislator and the legislative leaders to really step up and get more serious than they've ever been before. It was refreshing that Speaker Pro Tem President Pro Tem Bingaman this week really kind of weighed in. He'd kind of not really been very definitive on kind of where he saw some of this coming down, but he did make the point. It's been made by Speaker Hickman, and I think it is where they've really got the focus, and that is when you think about these percentage of off-the-top appropriations. Since 2009, the point being that the state tax collections have actually increased $700 million. I mean, we lose sight of that sometimes, that the money has continued to increase, but the legislature out of that $700 million only had $100 million more to appropriate to the general revenue fund. So they've got to get a handle on this. They cannot continue to have an additional $600 million in state spending that wasn't really under any kind of scrutiny of the legislative process. And I think that's a huge deal. They've got to rein this in. They've got to prioritize and quit just using these funding formulas. And you know, frankly, for Republicans, they've got to not fall into what seems to be already cropping up in some of the bills that we're seeing, where they're talking tax increases. I mean, you know, that no one, you know, that they want to fashion it and make it not look that way, but when you see a 300% increase in the excise tax on low point beer, that's a tax increase. When you see 120% increase on non-combustible tobacco items, that's a tax increase. A dollar per pack increase on cigarettes. I mean, those things, yes, they bring in revenue, but, you know, are those the things you want to go back home and campaign on with your constituents?
You know, Republicans have been raising taxes for years, though. They just call them fines and fees. They just don't call them
taxes.
Well,
Republicans and Democrats both. I mean, and that is the problem. I think that as they get more and more prone to try to find these quick fixes, like we've talked about, just like the temptation to look at that, what they have at their disposal, $335 million of the $535 million in the rainy day fund, that would be a colossal mistake to just think that you can go solve our problem this year and come back next year and it's just a bigger and bigger problem.
Right.
So this is the kind of the defining moment, I think, for Republicans in the legislature, in the majority, to step up and see whether they can really do something.
Very quickly, what about state agencies? Is it going to be cuts across the board?
I think it's going to be bigger cuts across the board. I don't think that there's the political will out there to zero in on a particular state agencies. And I think that this is going to have enormous impacts on state services. And I don't think that – I'd like to think, you know, there are tools available to the legislature this year, including reining in some of these tax cuts that were hemorrhaging revenue out that we don't necessarily need to be giving away. As much as I would like for that to end this year, it's just not. And we're not going to see the tax cut forestalled and put $50 million back in on the table. I think these tough decisions just aren't going to happen, and agencies are going to absorb $600 million in cuts.
And when you look at some of the percentages that, that are out there being talked about, whether it's 12.5% across the board, or some say that probably will be more likely 8.5 to 10.5, and it may vary depending on the agency, the bigger issue is you have agencies now really kicking into self-preservation mode. I mean, they're taking every unencumbered dollar that they've got and making sure that they say, hey, we're going to be using this, so don't come back and you know, think that we have any to spare, and don't cut us as deep as the next agency, because we really have, you know, we really have all of these other needs that you've been telling us you were going to help fund. I think it lays a big question mark on those five big ticket agencies that the governor said she wanted $81 million more actually going into their budgets.
I think that's
not going to happen, and I'm not sure, frankly, where they're going to get the money for the teacher, you know,
They just don't. I don't think they do. I mean, you had a bunch of legislators in a committee yesterday pass legislation that sounds great, raise teacher pay. We all, I think, can agree on that to some extent. But to pass that in the face of a $600 million budget hole really just sounds like political posturing to be able to say. They go back home and they campaign and say, I voted for a teacher pay raise.
And it compounds the fact that they will leave about the time. I mean, they need to know what happens in the third quarter in terms of revenue. I mean, that's really the third and fourth quarter. But most people, when you look at a lot of these forecasters, they say in the third quarter, if there's not an upturn, particularly in energy, that's when in the fourth quarter you'll start seeing the massive layoffs. And it'll be in the other sectors. It'll be in the service industries and the other industries where it will have a huge impact the following year for us as we keep going down this budget trail.
Yeah.
A Senate bill to create education savings account passes a Senate committee but fails in a House panel even after bringing in the House Speaker and Speaker Pro Tem to vote for it. Mm-hmm. Opponents, even among Republicans, are calling this a voucher program. Ryan, is this your assessment?
It essentially is. I mean, and we're right at the time where our public schools are already fighting for dollars. We've got 60% staffing and teachers in our teacher staffing rates, and you know, I think that, you know, we look across the board at the nation, we're always at the bottom or near the bottom in terms of per pupil funding. This is just another attempt to take dollars out of public education and give them to individuals for homeschooling or private schooling. But in the long run, the people that would be able to take advantage of this, especially if you look at private school tuition, they're not the folks. It's not going to cover 100% of private school tuition somewhere, and you know, subsidizing it for folks that would really want to be moving out of some of these districts, probably not going to get them there. It's a giveaway, and it takes money away from public education right when we can't afford to.
Neva?
Well, I don't think it takes money away. I mean, every tax dollar dedicated to education continues to pay for education. And when you look at if you want to talk about who cares about this, when you look at recent surveys, I mean, parents and other surveyed in Oklahoma overwhelmingly like this idea. So it's something that clearly it has a philosophical divide. I think Republicans have always espoused this as an idea that's time has come. Democrats have largely been opposed to it. The education establishment certainly has been opposed to it. But I think it will get some traction. I think it's interesting when you have the Speaker and the two top House leaders have to come in and cast their vote. And I think that's the first time Speaker Hickman has done that in a committee. You're going to see, I think, maybe some leadership push on some of these issues where they're going to crack down and say, we want this, and put a little pressure on their folks to come through and deliver.
Now, interestingly, the McCarville Report Online had a former Wisconsin lawmaker attacking the Republicans who voted against it. Former Speaker Scott Jensen, who is pushing the bill along with the Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs, calls the members liberal and says they should be disciplined. Neva, was this going too far?
Well, I'm not sure what his why he's injecting that kind of rhetoric into the conversation. But, you know, clearly these groups, such as the group that he's involved with, a national group, have come into states like Oklahoma in the last legislative cycle and weighed in with independent expenditures trying to help influence races and make sure that they got folks that they think were, very much along the lines of where they view, you know, education trends going. And I think you'll see more of that. I think you'll see more of these folks coming in saying, fine, you know, make your vote, make your place and where you want to stand, but there'll be folks that are going to take an opposing view and may come in and want to weigh in your election next time.
Well, one of the things that Oklahomans don't like, despite except for the other party, is somebody from out of state coming in and telling us how to run our state. Do you think this is kind of bullying and might actually backfire?
I think it does backfire. Yeah, we don't need some punk from Wisconsin to come in here and tell us how to do things. We're quite capable of screwing things up on our own. we don't need other people trying to come in here and tell us how to do that.
That's one voice among many voices engaged in this conversation. So I think he just got the headline. I don't think he's necessarily driving the agenda or driving the dialogue.
Lawmakers are discussing the possibility of making all advanced placement courses in Oklahoma illegal. Ryan, what are your thoughts on this?
It's understandable. I mean, if you're on the losing side, if most of your ideas are on the losing side of American history, I can understand why you don't want an entire course dedicated to teaching how those ideas have lost over the course of American history. This is ridiculous. And, you know, we're getting the same sort of national attention that's well deserved in this. You know, the idea that we're considering doing this and the rationale behind it, which is entirely baseless. You know, it's like some of us read Orwell and Huxley and we're like, oh man, that would suck. And then other people read it and they said, oh, let's do that. And this idea that we can rewrite and whitewash history in a way that, you know, is totally inoffensive to what it is that you believe to be an American is just ridiculous. And frankly, I mean, if they continue to push stuff like this through, I may take one of those those credits and homeschool my kid, so that he doesn't have to and they don't have to go to history classes where they learn about dinosaurs and cavemen living together.
And I don't think this is going to get anywhere other than a lot of headlines nationally that we could do well not to have. It's unfortunate that we get the fringe, the fringe groups oftentimes on some of these issues that get traction. And this is something, regrettably, that kind of came out of the Republican National Committee and some of the national, party leaders and some in the very ultra conservative wing that kind of took hold and felt like in some parts of the country, primarily East Coast, that there was this revisionist history going on, and they kind of seized the moment and used this as kind of their a place to get some traction. But to bring it to Oklahoma and then to throw this out there where people have this as their conversation for a day or a week when we've already talked about what the only issue really is the forefront that needs to be discussed, and that's the budget and how to address, government functioning. And we say we want to right-size it. We say we want it more efficient. We say we want, to be accountable and more transparent. It's time to put up or shut up, and I don't care, Republicans and Democrats alike need to, step up and agree on that one point.
Hear, hear.
There we go. Ryan and Eva's comments do not necessarily reflect the views of the ACLU, KOSU, its staff, or management.